It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 573. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Don't forget to use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. Haven't had a voicemail in a few weeks. Call my voicemail phone number, which is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Have a jam-packed show. I'm going to talk about a couple products. We're going to dive deep into the Synology NAS that I purchased finally for myself. After having a dozen clients with it, I finally bit the bullet, and we're going to talk about that and the setups. We're going to talk about the proper backup for them, not only local, but in the cloud. I have a couple tech solutions to problems that I've been running into and ran into with a client, and I solved it. I want to share that. First, today, actually this weekend, today and tomorrow, is the 11th anniversary of the Mike Tech Show podcast. I started this show 11 years ago, where I recorded the show on March 5th and posted it up on March 6th, 11 years ago. It's amazing when you do the math. If you take 11 and times it by 52, that's 572. Today is show 573. Now, I've missed a bunch of shows and rescheduled shows, but I've also, in the first few years, doubled up and had a lot of shows where I did a show on Thursday, a show on Saturday. I had some triple shows some weeks. It is amazing how the math has worked out exactly one show a week for the past 11 years. Very proud of that, where so many other podcasters have pod faded. Been with me, my extended family of listeners, that for a lot of you, the whole way. Some of you are new. Those who knew and found me, welcome. Those who have been with me for years, thank you. And thank you so much for your support. Every time there's an anniversary or an opportunity, I have to just tell one story, which is the first email that I ever received. I post that show up on March 6th. March 7th of 2005, I get an email response to my show, and it's from Trucker Tom. He started to talk about how he drives a truck because he used to be in the IT business years and years ago, and he is so glad he drives a truck, and he has a podcast and videos. It's tremendous. He wrote me an email saying about how much he enjoyed my first show, and I'll never forget the last line of the email, and it said, "I wanted to let you know I'm out there, I'm listening." And it's that email that made me want to do another show and then keep going and then keep going. And then all of a sudden, early on, I was contacted by Nitro Security to be a sponsor. I didn't even seek them out. They found me and sought me out. It was amazing. Then I was invited to join the Tech Podcast Network, which I'm still a member of. Now, I got to admit, and for those other Tech Podcast Network members who listen to my show, the last few years I have been so busy, I have not partaken in a lot in the activities of the network. And it's just from a lack of time. The last 8 years, I've had to build out my consulting business. When I was in the corporate world, I was working tremendous amount of hours, and then just trying to do a show is sometimes extremely difficult. I just wanted to give a little bit of background for those who maybe have joined recently. You can go back to the archives. I have every show online. Some of it's still relevant. I mean, some of it, of course, is things that, you know, aren't as important anymore. But you've also been part of my life that I do share as much as I can. You've been through me when I left the corporate world and was laid off. You've been through me with my medical issues. A couple years ago, I was in for a heart issue. Missed a couple shows. As a matter of fact, it started happening during a show. Now my eyes with the cataract surgery and everything, which, by the way, a big thank you to the eye doctor in the UK who sent me an email. Thank you, sir, so much for that. I really appreciate you taking the time explaining what was going on with me. There's been so much, the ups, the downs, everything. I try to find a way to be here every week. You know, when I miss, there's something big happening. Either it's a personal event that I need to attend, or it's a client emergency or a client that I just could not reschedule, or something that with the family that we just could not reschedule, or holidays, you know, because it's Thursday nights. I just want to thank everybody so much for supporting the show, for downloading and subscribing. It just means so much. Your feedback and everything just keeps me going. I call this show my therapy, which is sometimes you wouldn't believe some of the things that I've maybe been going through. I get on the air here and it just makes it all go away and just makes me feel so good. I'm excited about today's show because there's just so much to get to. So let me begin as I put my reading glasses on. First up, an error that I have ran into with cloning. It's the first error that I've ever had that stopped me from cloning a disc. And this is a fairly new, only a couple years old, Optiplex. And it's got Windows 7 Pro. And it has Seagate 500 gig hard drive. And now I'm cloning it because they don't need a lot of the space. And I'm cloning it to a Samsung 250 gig 850 EVO. And I'm using a Acronis boot USB stick. Well, I got an error that says the block bitmap was corrupted. Every time I tried to clone it, I hooked up all kinds of combinations of adding the SATA cable and how everything was set up properly. I was able to add the new disk. It would clone for 2 minutes and then fail. Fail. There was no option to continue. First link for tonight, an article that I found that described what to do when you get this error. When I found this last week, I remoted in, used an instant house call. You have to do a check disk /R C colon. So the C drive, there's an issue. Even though Crystal Disk Info, all the hard drive utilities, even the Dell Diagnostics did not reveal a problem with the drive. There was an issue because I ran check disk /R. And when you do that from the command line, it will respond, do you want this check disk to be performed on the next reboot? And of course, I said yes. I rebooted. Now, unfortunately, during that check disk process, I cannot view what's going on remotely. So about an hour later, I came back and seen that it was up and running. So I don't know what it fixed until yesterday when I go back and I redo. We had to go at 5 o'clock because at the end of the day, this is a critical system for this printer. And I performed the clone and it fixed it. This bitmap error, there's a second solution that I didn't have to do, but it goes into going to resize and shrink the main drive by 10 megabytes. So I was prepared to do that yesterday if the clone didn't work. The clone was just rock solid and beautiful. Booted up, everything's good. Wanted to share that with what you do. Now, we're going to run into another error that a listener responded to when I get to the email portion. Couple new products, and one I love, one I'm disappointed. And I wanted to actually put this out there to see if anybody has run into this issue. It's the AOC E1649 FWU USB monitor. A 16-inch USB monitor. I was like, wow, I got so many clients that would just love this. And I bought this as a deal of the day from Woot. Now, it's factory refurbished for $69. I jumped on it. It came yesterday. And I had some time after I woke up between getting up and then heading to my first client in the late afternoon. I did everything. I installed the drivers. I read the documentation. I plugged everything in perfectly. Nothing. I tried another PC. Nothing. I even tried the Mac with the Mac drivers. Nothing. And I have a pretty current 27-inch iMac here. Nothing. I cannot get this monitor to work. Next week, I'm going to try AOC tech support. What am I missing? Or maybe I got a defective monitor. But I was so excited to have a USB monitor just as an easy way to add another monitor for clients. Could you imagine just being powered and just connected via USB? I could sell 10 of them without even blinking an eye, you know, to clients that I know would really appreciate that. I was all prepared to do a great review. I can't review it. I can't even get it to work. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if anybody's had that or had experience with a USB monitor. I got to be missing something or it's completely defective, one or the other. Wanted to share that. You've heard me talk about Synology all the time. I use Synology for clients. They don't need a full-blown big server, but they need centralized storage. Typically, I only use it for file storage and remote access for small businesses. But I wanted to bring up another use because I bit the bullet and bought the DiskStation DS416J. It's a four-bay NAS, so you can add four drives. They're very easy to put in. And I recommend only one type of drive, and that is the Western Digital Red NAS. This is where you have a drive that is optimized for NASs. There's four trays where you can pop it in. Then you can just find it. Once you do that, you go to your computer and you make sure it's on the LAN. Make sure it's gigabit, and then open up a browser and just type find.synology.com, and it will find your device, and you can start beginning to configure it. It is so easy to configure, but the reason I want to go into the detail, I've never dug deep into the backup of these, and what have I been doing for my clients, and then now we'll call it eating my own dog food. I've been selling this to many clients, but I have not installed it for myself. So now I can experience everything, but I want to do something a little more with this device. It's not just file storage. It's all about the apps that you can get for this device that are built in that you could just download. It is almost a full server. Now you can't run any applications that there's no app for, but there's a ton of apps. So once I get this set up, I decommission the old NAS, but before I do that, I make sure I have one final file backup. And I have been using the SyncBack Pro to back up my last NAS. Now I don't even have to do that. So I had to basically run on a separate workstation SyncBack Pro just to back up the NAS to an external disk that was connected to it because I never could get the backup that's built in to the Black Armor to work properly. I had to go to SyncBack. one of the things that you get with this Synology is a program that you can easily bring up. There's an option for backup and replication. Here's what I do. After I get the drive set up, it's sort of like its own RAID 5. It's Synology's own version, striping with parity. So if I put four drives in, I only have the availability of three. So I have four 3-terabyte drives, which yields me 8.1 terabytes available. Now, Synology drive devices come in at least the lower end here. I mean, they have much bigger ends for bigger enterprises, but what I'm talking about is the 2-bay or the 4-bay. If you do a 2-bay where you can only put two in, it's the same operating system, same features. It's just less money, and now you're only going to mirror your drive. So at that point, you want to kind of buy the biggest drives that you can, and you got to buy two of them, and you're going to lose one of them to the mirror because that's the idea for the fault tolerance. Something goes wrong, you lose a drive, you didn't lose all your data. But if you're backing up regularly, you don't have to worry about that. So for me, most of my clients, I have the 4-bay. Those that can't afford it, very, very small, tiny client that needs a NAS, I put the 2-bay in. So we got the 4-bay. I have 8.1 terabytes. I set up the user accounts for my sons and myself. I set up the shares. I transfer my massive music library, which is like 400 gigs, and I move that over back over to the NAS. I move my software depot. I start moving some of my other shares. I have a public share. And then once I create them, I set that up. I then took a 6-terabyte Western Digital Red NAS drive. I put it in an enclosure. I'm going to have links to all everything I'm talking about. The Orianco, I believe, I might be pronouncing it wrong. It's only $20, and it's the easiest toolless enclosure that you could ever do. Once I had everything set up, I took the 6-terabyte Western Digital Red NAS, put it in that enclosure, plugged it into the USB 3 port, and then started the backup. And it's so easy to do a backup. And the reason why I'm going through this detail, this is an opportunity for you, if you're in the business, to make more money, to add more services to your product line for what you're offering, whether you're consulting or doing IT support or repair. There's a lot of home networks that really want this type of capability. I have a few that I've installed. So once you pick backup and replication, the first thing you need to do after you've plugged in that drive is create a backup destination. Once you pick that, you find the USB share that appears. I created the name called backup-USB. Then I was able to use that destination as the location for my backup. I created a job in the backup that said backup all the files, everything on the NAS, and it showed me all of the shared directories. I checked them all and then told it for the target destination to be the backup destination that I created. Then I set a schedule. And right now I set it for 3 a.m. And last night, my first backup was successful and it's perfect. So now I'm backing up locally and we didn't spend any more money except a drive. We don't need any other software. It's built in to the operating system of the Synology NAS. Once I've done that, for disaster recovery, businesses need a backup in the cloud. And I have been using Amazon Glacier. This is a great service for backing up. It's so inexpensive. It's 0.007 cents per gigabyte per month. That's incredible. That is very, very inexpensive. One of the things I've done is set up an account on Amazon Web Services for my client. I had them pick their email and password. You got to give it a credit card. Then you pick Amazon Glacier Service. And when you see Amazon Web Services, if you haven't explored that, I could spend years just talking about the product line that is offered in Amazon Web Services. So now I have Amazon Glacier, and I have that picked. To set it up, it's very simple. It walks you through step by step. There's one key thing that after you go online and set this up, there's a secret key and then another key. There's two keys that are very long, and you need to activate that. And you have to go to your account, and there's an option for security in generating the keys. You generate them. It's literally a CSV file that you download. Now that you have those two keys, the reason it's important is you need to cut and paste them into the Amazon Glacier backup app that you run right from the menu, that right within the NAS, and you put those two keys in, and then you set up, okay, how do I want to back up? You want to back up once a week? You want to back up every night? This is a great, inexpensive service to protect, to securely protect your data from a NAS. Matter of fact, you can use Amazon Glacier for anything. I'm just using it as an example here because you can't just install a NAS and not have appropriate set and forget backups. You need a local backup and a remote backup in the cloud. That's important to have both. All of my businesses that I support has this. Now, I will say there's homes that opted out of, and I understand, they've opted out of the cloud storage for the backup, but I make them get an external drive. We plug it in the USB 3 port. That's another thing you want to look for. There's a lot of confusion on a lot of these the Synology NAS devices where they don't have USB 3. So be careful of some of the older models. You want gigabit LAN, and you got to have USB 3 because it makes the file transfer for the backups just go so much quicker when you hang a USB device off it. All of this, very inexpensive. But now, getting to some features for the home that I've already started and tested last night. There's lots of apps that you can run. I'm running Audio Station. This is huge. This Audio Station will find and index all of the music files that I have on the NAS. There's a free app for the iPhone and the Android. So my son Ryan's an Android person. I'm an iPhone person. So I download DS Audio. It's free. You sign in. If you're local, use the local IP address and sign in with your account. If you're remote, there's a great free option that when you're setting up remote access from outside your place of business or your home, that Synology will let you pick a DNS name. So it's sort of like Dyn DNS for free, hosted by Synology. And what you have to do is just pick a name. So let's say I picked ABC. I can remotely get to my NAS because it will prompt you through a wizard to set up abc.synology.me. It will do the port forwarding for your router. When you run this wizard, it will detect your router, log in, and set all of the port forwarding that's required for the apps that you want to use remotely. So this makes it very easy. I have Audio Station running. DS Audio downloaded on my iPhone. DS Audio downloaded on my son's Samsung Android, and it's playing the music beautifully. You get the album artwork. So now we have access to our entire music library no matter where we're at in the world. Just remember, if you're not on Wi-Fi, you're going to pay the data rates that apply if you're just using your cell service. I have tremendous, huge data plan that we never come close to using. So this is great. Now, just real quick, there's so many apps. I could spend shows on each app. There's Download Station, Media Server, Photo Station, Video Station, and there are accompanying free apps that you can download. But the biggest one that I really liked and I installed this morning on my iPad is File Station. I downloaded that app and can access all of my files remotely just by logging in to the NAS using my account. When you take a look at all these features and learn them, think of these services that you can easily offer clients. Or you want this for yourself, but just remember, whatever you do, whatever you deploy, whatever service, make sure you have a rock solid backup plan. And don't just be looking for that after the fact. Make sure you come to the table with that solution when you're offering it, because that is critical to the success of this. To just bring this topic and wrap it up, I'm going to have a link to my Amazon link of Western Digital Red, the 3 terabyte NAS hard drive. Right now, the price I'm looking at is $106. The price of the NAS, the Synology NAS that I bought with the model, I'll have it in the show notes. That was $315. When you look at this page for my link in the show notes for these NAS drives, just pick the size and quantity that you want. Right on the page, you have 1 terabyte, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The NAS actually supports 8 terabyte drives. So depending on your budget and how much storage you need, you buy the appropriate NAS devices. And remember, I think the sweet spot is the 4 3-terabytes, and then buy 1 6-terabyte to back that up, because you know you're going to have at least, if you fill it, 8. But there's no way I'm going to put 8 terabytes there. So I figured, you know, a 6 terabyte backup for a local backup, that makes sense. So even if you pick 2 twos and they're mirrored, then get another 2 to back it up for the external drive, and then get that enclosure for $20. You can do this very inexpensively and be able to have a professional server and services that you can serve up to not only you, maybe your family. Or if it's a small business, give you a great example here. I'm turning on a feature soon for a NAS for an inspection company, and it's the photos for the inspection. Now, they take up a lot of space. So when they archive those photos, they may want to pull them up remotely. So I'm going to use the photo station for them. That's a perfect example where they have their control of their own storage, their own backup. Everything's perfect, and they can have it access to all of the remote devices, whether it be in the Apple world or the Android world. You can take these apps and then apply them to the different vertical markets for your clients. Let's get to the stack of email here. This is from Robert. Hello, Mike, and to all that helped me. Robert was in the chat last week. He is World 080811. He had a problem that we were helping him in the chat. He received the HDMI cable, hooked it up, and no joy. He was given a laptop to repair, but he couldn't get any video. And I said, try an external monitor. Now, he had an HDMI monitor, but there was only an HDMI port on the side of the laptop, but he didn't have a cable. So I suggested you got to get a cable and have that to be able to take a look and try that first to see if there's an issue. And he took off the back plate, unplugged the hard drive, memory, and the CD drive. I do not get any beep codes. And as we all know, just with at least the memory out, it should give a beep code. I completely agree. I tried to boot off a USB drive. No joy. I have hooked up the laptop to the HDMI out on my laptop to the HDMI in to the all-in-one. This is an all-in-one machine. I'm sorry, it's not a laptop. It was an all-in-one computer. And got some joy. I can see the screen on it from my laptop. I can hear the CD drive spinning. I think I can feel the hard drive running. The 3 fans are running. When I turn on the power for 8 seconds, the screen is off. For 2 seconds, the screen lights up, goes off, and stays on. But the start button at the bottom comes on when I touch them. I have a CD in the drive that I cannot get it to eject out the disk, and to where I can change it from the show computer to HDMI, and the brightness of the screen, the eject soft button, does not work. Unless you can think of anything more that I can do, I'm going to call it half dead. I'm going to say full dead. When I run into hardware that has that many problems, they either have to go through the cost of sending it back to the manufacturer or finding someone that is experienced with that particular model. Maybe it's Toshiba, Sony, Dell. You need a service center that services that manufacturer. I can only take it so far for my hardware repair. I'm not a hardware guy. I don't build computers, which brings up something. If you take the time to send me an email about building a computer, I'm no good to you. That's not what I do. And if you listen to the show, you would understand that. I've received some pretty detailed emails from people wanting help with building their computer. I'm not the guy. If you need help building a computer, you want to watch Carrie Holzman's videos. And that's what I'm replying back. I mean, that's how I learn. You want to learn how to build a computer? You watch Carrie's video. You go to YouTube. You don't go to Mike. I could do what I can on recommending certain things. My default site is MaximumPC.com, and they're best of the best. When I don't know what the latest, greatest video card is or the latest, greatest, you know, XYZ hardware, that's where I go. I trust in their hardware recommendations. I just wanted to bring that up. But when it comes to hardware repair, I'll try memory, hard drive, just like you did, Robert. Sometimes you just got to give up and say, that's it, and assist the client into purchasing a new computer. Now, were you able to take the hard drive out and get the data? To me, that's the most important thing. Someone comes to me with broken hardware. I will take the hard drive out, make sure I can do everything possible to get the data off. Now, let's see what we can do. If it's a motherboard problem, a power supply problem, simple things I'll try to replace. I won't replace a motherboard. If it's a motherboard, I call it dead and that's it. Let's go buy a new computer and spend that money moving forward. This is a neat Outlook utility for setting up a new profile for Office 365. And Steve sent this in. It's from Message Ops, and it's Config 365. Link will be in the show notes. Now, this email's also from Steve, and I received 3 emails, one from Franklin and another one from David, all recommending the following Intel mini PC, which is the NUC, the NUC. I'm looking at all the different options. This came up when I mentioned for a dental office, I needed a very tiny computer that can fit inside the hutch that has all of the dental equipment, and I needed a place to put a very small computer. This seems to be the answer. I want to thank everybody who took the time. They have Core i3, i5, i7 processors. You can have the SSD as mSATA or M.2. They support DisplayPort and mini HDMI. And some have 2 to 4 USB 3 ports. This is awesome. Into a little 4-inch by 4-inch. That's what I want. So great recommendation, guys. This is from Rod. You have probably received 100 emails on this subject, but here is one more. I was listening to your show and heard the caller warning about using the driver update utility you were speaking of. I, too, have had bad experience with driver update utilities in the past and have stayed away from them for a long time. However, while I was listening to your show, I Googled driver update and was immediately presented with a Malwarebytes warning. I used Sandboxy to go to the site that Google presented as the first hit, which was driverupdate.net, and Malwarebytes blocked me. So then I Googled driver updates by Slimware and was presented with Slimware utilities, and Malwarebytes had no problem with the site. So I'm not saying I trust that particular driver update utility, but I think the moral of the story here is be very careful when Googling for a particular site or software package, because there are a lot of imitation malware-ridden sites that you are not familiar with the site you're looking for, and you need to be sure that you're going directly to the correct website from Google. The search term, along with other terms as the name of the company, etc., so that you get to the right site. That is very important, and that's why I like Woot, which is Web of Trust. And for all my clients, all of their browsers, I install that, and that's a little help because it gives you a red light, green light, yellow light as to how bad that site you might be going to with the links. Very helpful. And remember, you can't trust the first results that Google presents. You got to use common sense and take a look. Well, where is it sending me? And take a look at the sites. That's why you want your bar at the bottom of your browser to describe exactly what site you're going to. Take a look. If you're searching for Dell, and the site you're going to, even though it says it's Dell, but the link is clearly not Dell, don't go there. This is a driver update follow-up from Terry in Arizona. On your last show, you read my email about Dell not having Windows 10 drivers for my friend's computer. I did go to Intel's site. I used Speccy on the computer to see he had a Core i3 Clarksdale processor, first generation. A chart on Intel's site showed that Intel has no Windows 10 drivers for his processor. Here is a link to the Intel driver utility. I have used this at my day job. On my friend's computer, I successfully used the free Slim drivers to update his drivers. The drivers were created in 2013, but they were newer than his existing drivers. After the drivers were updated, I uninstalled Slim drivers. I then used auto runs to clean up Slim driver startup entry that the uninstaller did not remove. Thanks again for a terrific show. We've got mixed reviews of the Slimware drivers utilities. We had a listener that wrote in and just killed them. But here we got someone successfully using it. You just got to be careful. This is from Josh, and it's about the Windows 10 shutdown question. Hey, Mike, Josh again. I hadn't tried updating the BIOS like you suggested. I'm happy to say that it appears to have worked. Just to let you know, I'm a PC gamer, and I know that at least three of your regular viewers are gamers as well. My hardware is an i7, Core i7, with two GTX 970s in SLI mode. I have two monitors and a 55-inch TV hooked up to it as well. Also, about 3 months ago, I decided to start my own little side business, fixing PCs, just for some extra cash. Your idea of upgrading older PCs with SSDs has made me a few extra bucks. I am so glad to hear that. I also made a USB toolkit full of portable apps based on your recommendations as well. Thanks for the show again. Let me know what you find out about using your link on the mobile Amazon apps. Josh, thank you. I am so glad updating the BIOS fixed your problem. This is from Alistair. Very important. I have a client that has a problem with Windows properly activate. Now, let me back this up. Have a client with a problem where Microsoft is presenting a genuine message that Windows needs to be activated, even though it's activated and even though we have a legitimate key. This was a cloned drive. I could not remember the link. Alistair remembered the link. And thank you so very much for emailing me this. It's fixing the MSE update error 0XC8000247. He's linking an article from Didier Stevens, who's also a listener of the show. And there is a fix. It's an Intel. The solution is to install an Intel driver for high density drives. And it's an HP website, the link, but you can install this driver and it will fix this problem. I could not remember. It also, part of this problem is you can't do any Windows updates. By the way, that's the admin podcast that Alistair has, and he's in the chat right now. Thank you so much for sending me that link. I've now made sure this is part of my Evernote notes, this link, because this is now the second time I've ran into this problem. There are some lingering issues when you clone a disk. Now, this error didn't appear for a month after the clone, but it's all because of a clone that this has occurred. That's it for the tech content for today's show. I have some music. For those of you that follow and why there was no show Thursday night, I got to see the Struts. That, you know, it's a new band from the UK that I have been following and seeing, and I just really, really, really like them. And so does my son Ryan, who turned me on to them. If you get a chance, it's thestruts.com. Check out their music. I'm going to play a new single off their brand new CD that was released yesterday. I was able to pick it up at the concert on Thursday night. I got to meet the band, got some pictures, give a listen, and of course, I have to include this bumper.
Hello, this is Luke Spillett from The Struts, and you're listening to Mike Smith, host of The Mike Tech Show on miketechshow.com.
All that you want is a love I can't provide, and no matter what I try, feels like we're falling. 'Cause I'm leaving home, one more token I'll be gone, and I'll be saving all these ashes till the morning. When the sun comes from the west, I swear you'll find my silhouette. All right. Without a warning, warning. Don't speak, 'cause it only makes my heart bleed. No matter what you say, I'll be only just a cut away. I need to know that I got you with me. No matter what they say, I'll be only just a cut away.
That is the Struts, Only Just a Call Away, off their new CD. I'll have a link to Amazon where you can pick that up. Great, great CD. I want to thank all of you so much from the bottom of my heart for staying with me for all this time. 11 years went by very, very fast, and I can't wait to do 11 more. I want to thank everybody. And one great big way you support the show is using my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. It makes a big difference. As a matter of fact, a lot of the funds that I got enabled me to be able to purchase that NAS and be able to talk about it, to be able to get a USB monitor. I will buy items that I talk about and put it back into the show. So it really helps. Thank you so much. Also, to my affiliates and sponsors, Instant House Call. Go to instanthousecall.com. Give it a try. Download the 15-day trial. Don't forget to use my promo code MikeTechShow. Fabs Auto Backup for Tech. The 6 Pro version is phenomenal. This is where you transfer all your files from one operating system to another, one system to another. And also, the Computer Repair Business Kit from TechNibble, version 3. This is a kit you have to have if you're in the business, if you're in the tech business, whether you have a store, whether you're consulting, whether you do repairs, this is a must-have. I want to thank everybody for supporting all of those affiliates. You know I use these products all the time, every day for my business. That's the only way I'll talk about it. That's it. I'll see everybody next Thursday, regular time, at 8 p.m. on Thursday night on March 10th. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.